Came in a little bit quieter than last time. We had the Dam Busters theme tune going last time. Do you know, there's a lovely sense of God's presence here this morning. And let's just start with prayer. Lord, we do thank you this morning for your goodness. Lord, for your grace. Lord, for your amazing love. And for your dedication to us, Lord. Lord, you are dedicated to the ones that you love, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for us. Amen. Got a bit of a long title here. It says, dedication is the heartbeat of God. It can be costly. And God knows that it can be costly. But love is always willing to pay the price. When God made man, this is what he said. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. Adam, if you like, was God's master copy. He created every living thing to reproduce after its own kind. And this is a little bit of Dwayne in here. So orange seed produces oranges, pear seed produces pears, apple seed produces apples, rabbit seed produces rabbits, monkey seed produces monkeys, and man produces man. And I'll leave that message to Johnny. So when God created Adam, he was a sinless man, living in a perfect world. He intended Adam and Eve to fill the earth with others like him, who were sinless, made in God's image and likeness, who were in a loving relationship with God. God, in his love and goodness, gave mankind free will, so that mankind would stay in a relationship with him because they wanted to, not because they had no choice. What Adam chose affected the whole human race, right down to this very day. Romans 5, verse 12, in the Living Bible, says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the entire human race. His sin spread death throughout all the world. So everything began to grow old and died, for all sinned. Now God's master copy was flawed. In my job as a carer, I have to produce several forms to help the team in the work that we do. And once I had a master copy that was flawed. And when I reproduced that form, it reproduced the flaw as well. Everything that I used, the master copy, because it had a flaw, all of the copies had a flaw. And you know, it was like that with mankind. So Adam and Eve began filling the earth with their kind, but now it was the wrong kind because the master copy had a flaw. God's likeness in man was now spoiled. We no longer had his sinless nature. We had a sinful nature. People think it's the sin that you do that makes you a sinner, but that's not true. It's your sinful nature that makes you a sinner. It's your sinful nature that causes you to sin. It's what comes naturally. Newborn babies are innocent, but give them time, and you will soon learn that what comes naturally will begin to happen. No one ever has to train or teach a child to be selfish, to be unkind, or to blame others for what they did, to lie or to take what doesn't belong to them. They lack understanding. By the grace of God, parents can be good and loving and will train up a child in the way that they should go, and they'll learn right from wrong. And they'll learn that doing wrong carries consequences of punishment, and doing right carries blessings, not just for them, but for those who are around them as well. I pity the child that doesn't ever receive that loving correction, the child who is never taught where the boundaries are that keep them safe. And they go into so much heartache and trouble. It's not love never to correct a child, and to leave a child to its own devices will only lead them into insecurity and misery, not freedom. Children need fathers and mothers, not pals, not friends. That comes later when they're grown up. We all sin, and we are all born with a sinful nature. And given time, we do what comes naturally because of our nature, and we sin. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 5 verse 12 says this, "Therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned." A little bit further on, Romans 5 verses 14 to 16 says, "Still everyone died, from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit command of God as Adam did. Now Adam is the symbol, the representation, or a type of Christ who was yet to come. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. For the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins." In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 24, it states this, "For since by man, that is Adam, came death, by man, Jesus, also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so, in Christ, all shall be made alive." And it goes on to say that Christ is the first fruit. Afterwards, those who are Christ at his coming, when then comes the end, and he delivers the kingdom of God, the kingdom to God and the Father, and he puts an end to the rule, to all rule and authority and power. Sorry. I've got quite a few verses here. It says 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45 to 48. And the scriptures tell us the first man, Adam, became a living person. But the last Adam, that is Christ, he is a life-giving spirit. What comes first is the natural body. Then the spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was made from dust, the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Earthly people are like the earthly man, and the heavenly people are like the heavenly man. So what it's saying there is that the first man, Adam, became a living being, but the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. And what Adam brought to the human race was sin and condemnation, and all in Adam die, the Bible tells us. But all in Christ are alive to God. And we just thank God this morning that we are alive to him, all because of what Jesus has done. That's why the virgin birth is very important to what we believe as Christians. Because Adam was flawed, because that flaw, that sinful nature in Adam was there, God was sending his son into this earth to die, to live a sinless life and then die as a sacrifice for our sin. And you know, the virgin birth is so vital because he didn't have a natural, he wasn't conceived by natural means, but by supernatural. He didn't have an earthly biological father. The angel told Mary, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." And Mary said to the angel, "Well, how can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." If he had had just a biological father, a natural father, then he would have just been a mere man with a sinful nature like Adam. But Jesus was like the original masterpiece before sin corrupted Adam. And that is why Jesus is called the last Adam. He lived on earth as a sinless, perfect man, and yet he was fully God. He was Emmanuel, God with us. John 3, verse 3 to 6, Jesus said this, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" You see, God's redemptive plan makes no sense to human wisdom or reasoning. Jesus wasn't talking about going through another natural birth, but a spiritual birth. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And this is why Jesus came into the earth, to reconcile man to God, to give every person who decides to ask Jesus Christ to be their Saviour and Lord, to give them a brand new nature. And by rebirth, the last Adam, Jesus, will be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth with those who have been born again, those who are in Christ, receiving Jesus as their Saviour and Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have gone, and the new have come. All things have become new. Peter said, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, because the seed of Adam was corrupted, but we are born not of a corruptible seed, but the incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And you have a choice. You can either remain in Adam, dead to God, in trespasses and sin. This spiritual death will eventually take you to a Christless eternity forever, forever separated from God and his love for you. Or you can be born again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who believes, who does not believe, is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. God went to great lengths to offer his salvation to you. He is totally dedicated to reconciliation between you and him. He is totally committed to you. It cost him dearly. The price was Jesus' life for yours. Isaiah 53, verse 3 to 6 from the Message says this: he was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him, for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment that made us whole. And through his stripes we get healed. We're all like sheep who've wandered and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way. And God has piled on him everything we've done wrong. On him. On him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, that is God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Religion, whatever its title, will tell you this is where God is, and this is where you are, and you have to do this, 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 this to get to know God. You have to do this, this, this to earn your way to God. But you know, it's not about your performance. It is not about our performance, about us getting right with God. It's about what he did. We can't get ourselves right with God. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. But true Christianity is all about how God came down to earth and lived as a sinless man and paid the price in full on the cross for you. Right now, for you, whoever you are and whatever you've done, Jesus paid for your sin, past, present, and even future sin. He died once for all. And today he offers you that forgiveness. He offers you new life in him as a free gift of his grace that can never be earned by self-effort. All of our good works, anything we do to try and earn If we can stand and say one good thing about ourselves and say, this is why I should be let into heaven, then you don't understand. Because there is not one good thing that we can say that can earn our way into heaven. It's all about what Jesus has done. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus did not say, I am a way. He said, I am the way, the only way. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He reflects perfectly the heart of the Father, the invisible God made visible to us. Not only is he the way to the Father, Jesus gives you a new way to live, a new way to process life, a new perspective on life. He's not only the way to receive eternal life, but he is the way through the storms of life, here and now. He is the way to a fruitful life, a life full of purpose and meaning. Man foolishly believes that he can solve life's problems, that he can work it all out independent of God. The prophet Jeremiah said this, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We were not designed to be independent of God, but dependent on him. That's when we do well what he has called us to do. That's when we fulfill his purposes, his will for our life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate. Difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Narrow means constricted. When you become a Christian, you have to let go of some things. You have to let go of some relationships, or you'll never progress as a Christian. You'll be saved, but you'll never know the joys and the blessings that come as you walk the narrow way. The narrow way is also the way that you receive God's blessing, so that you can be a blessing. And it's so sad that some Christians never progress past inside the gate. And they wonder why they're not walking in victory. And they wonder why everyone else seems to be blessed. It's because they've stood still. It's because they're unwilling to give up and surrender all to Jesus. Jesus said, he is the truth. God's word is truth. Jesus said those to some Jews who believed in him in John 8:31. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Don't live in lies. Lies bring bondage. When cultures are built on lies, they eventually collapse and they break down in instability. Lies bring that instability. This is for Christians to remember too. Jesus is the truth. Refuse to live by lies, no matter how long they have been your mindset, no matter how long that tradition has been held. No matter how steadfastly others that you look up to have held on to something that cannot be found in the Word of God. We live by the Word of God, and the Word of God is our final authority. We have freedom in Christ, and we are to walk in that freedom. You can't be a disciple of Jesus and live in lies. Disciples follow Jesus. They do what Jesus did. They live like Jesus lived. They speak like Jesus spoke. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But truth can be painful and costly. But if you live by the truth, it liberates you. It sets you free. It's worth it to be completely sold out for Jesus, the way and the truth. Dedicate your life to follow him. Dedicate your life to follow the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said he is the life. Out of that living, growing relationship with Jesus, as you grow in the revelation knowledge of him, you soon discover he is your life. He is the only way to live. True Christianity is all about a relationship with Jesus Christ, the true and the living God. There is only one God. He's not obscure. He revealed himself to man. Jesus is God's precious Son. He came to show us the Father. And if you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off till tomorrow. If you hear him right now, if you feel that tugging, that drawing of his Holy Spirit, today accept him. Don't stay in Adam for one more day. Don't risk dying in Adam. Jesus loves you, and he proved his love for you at the cross. He is totally committed to receiving you now if you will accept him as your Lord and Savior. And if you're already a Christian, the way you live, the way you walk as a light, a guide to others in this dark world, that's the way Christians live. People out there need to see Jesus Christ. They need to see who we are in Christ. They need to see Jesus in us. They need to hear Jesus in our voice. They need to see him. And you know, as you walk your path in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, be dedicated this day, on this dedication day, be dedicated to let your light shine brighter. And I'm finishing with Proverbs 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter into the perfect day.